for Christ together, aren't we? And we encourage each other to be a light for Christ. It's not just, yes, I will. Yes, we will. Say that with me. Yes, we will. Yes, we will. Amen? Yes, let's do that together. One of the lights that the Lord Jesus Christ brings into our lives is the light of peace. The light of peace. The whole world craves peace. When I go to Jerusalem, every time I go, they tell us, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They want peace. You know, there's a statue between Chile and Argentina. It's a huge figure, and it's designed to express the hope for peace. And it's called Christ of the Andes, Andes Mountains. Wow, what was that? Designed to express the hope for peace. You know, in Paris, at the foot of the Eiffel Tower, there is a glass monument. And it says, it's titled, The Wall for Peace. And the word peace is written on there in 49 different languages. In Tokyo, there's a large statue with arms outstretched to heaven. And in Greek and in Japanese, it says agape. Isn't that interesting? In Japan, primarily a Buddhist country. And it expresses a desire for the Japanese people to have peace with their neighboring countries. Peace. There was a time when the United States minted a silver dollar. Started about 1920, 1921. And it was called the peace dollar. Because after the First World War, they wanted the world to be at peace. Everybody craves peace. Everybody craves peace. And that is also true of us internally, in our relationships, in our lives. We crave peace. Peace in our time. You heard that phrase? Peace in our time. Yet the opposite of peace is often what is there. Warfare, contention, difficult relationships. The opposite of peace is often there. If this is true for you and this is true for our world, Christ came. Christ came. And there's hope for you, and there's a hope for our world. Let's read that chapter 9, verse 6 again. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. We're going to be talking about the titles and names of Jesus during our Advent season. And today we're going to talk about this title, that he's the Prince of Peace. Pastor Nathan will be speaking next Sunday, and then I'll follow up the next two Sundays. But the titles and names of Jesus that were foretold and the ones that he and what that means even to us. Let's look a little bit at the context of Isaiah first before we understand. It'll help us understand what Prince of Peace meant. When Isaiah was written, or the time of the prophet Isaiah, the country of Israel was divided into a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. The northern kingdom was called Israel. The southern kingdom was called Judah. And they're really two separate countries. Now over here, way over in this side, Assyrians were very expansionistic, and they wanted to take over new territory. And so they wanted to come and take over this area where Israel and Judah were. And in between was Syria. And so they had to come through Syria to get through Israel and Judah. And so Syria and Israel said, you know, we've got to band together to fight these guys. And so they banded together, and then they said, we got to get Judah to help us so the our three countries can fight off this Assyrian threat, because the Assyrians are very fierce and very threatening. And they pressured Judah, says, you know, join us. And if you don't join us, we're going to invade you. That's how much they wanted. Because those Assyrians are going to come after us, so we need you in our alliance. So King Ahaz of Judah says, oh no, they're going to invade. If I don't join them to fight against the Assyrians. And the king of Judah said, I don't want to fight against the Assyrians, but I don't want to have to fight the Syrians and the Israel countries. And so Isaiah comes to him during this time and says, don't worry. God is going to provide for you. Don't worry. Don't fret. And King Ahaz rejects that advice, and he actually makes a pact with the Assyrians. And he says, I'll support you. Don't invade us. And in 722 BC, the Assyrians actually come down and conquer Syria and the northern kingdom of Israel. Now they're right at the doorstep on the border with Judah. But Judah is spared, at least temporarily. King Ahaz did not take God's advice, instead allied himself with a foreign nation. And Assyria went ahead and captured Syria and the northern kingdom of Israel, 722 and 721. Later on, his alliance with the Assyrians got back at him, because the Assyrians did come 20 years later and captured most of Judah, except for Jerusalem. Let's talk about some truths about peace from this story. First of all, there are two kinds of interference for peace. If we want peace in our lives, there are two things that really interfere. First of all, the Syrian nation was threatening. Everybody's minding their own business. Everything's going well. All of a sudden, this other country decides, I'm going to go down there and conquer you guys. There is an external interference to peace. Often happens. Outside circumstances come upon our lives, and all of a sudden, our lives that were just nice and going smooth, and you know, we're going, and all of a sudden, it all changes. And it causes some kind of distress. Maybe a relationship goes sour. Maybe an angry neighbor. Maybe we have a car accident. We got a mean boss at work. Maybe we have conflict with someone. Maybe we're victims of crime. But something external to us comes upon us, and all of a sudden, our peaceful coexistence and our life is all up in turmoil, because something outside came in to us. You know, there are always things, aren't there? There are always things. It's like you get over one thing and then something else happens. You might have about 20 minutes of respite, and then something else comes, and you know, you get a phone call. Oh, I don't want to answer that phone call. Oh, Jesus knew the world. In John chapter 16, he says, in the world you will have trouble. All of us can say, duh. How true. And so the first interference, just like the Assyrian nation was coming, the first interference to true peace is that externally it comes upon us. The second interference to peace, notice that King Ahaz would not accept God's help. He wouldn't even accept a sign. Isaiah said, I'll give you a sign. God will give you a sign to show you that his word is good. And King Ahaz said, I don't want that sign. I'm not going to test God like he was being so holy. He had an internal interference with peace, because he contended with God. He trusted his own judgment over God's. He said, I'm not going to trust God. I'm going to trust the Assyrians over there. And he turned to them. You know, when we internally conflict with God, it makes all our external problems worse. Isn't that true? When we reject God's help, it makes all of our external problems worse. We see that God tried to help King Ahaz, but he would not accept it. And that's God reaching out to give us guidance. Through Isaiah, he says, you're going to be okay, trust me. And we get too skittish, and we get in a hurry, and we get impatient, and says, well, I can't wait for God. I'm going to trust something else. But we defeat ourselves in the search for peace by rejecting God's solution. And when we do that, we reject the chance for an internal grounding of God's peace. We can be at war within ourselves, angry, fearful, paranoid, hateful, prideful. We got it. Some have a chip on our shoulder, unaccepting of others. Some people hate themselves. There's all kinds of ways. Internally, we're in turmoil. I was serving a funeral one time, and as there was a time when the family was going to come to the casket and just pay their respects. And the person who died was not that old. He was probably 60-ish. And there were several brothers sitting right up in here. And one of the brothers I had been working with to arrange the funeral, but he wasn't the eldest brother. And the eldest brother finally showed up. And I had never met him, but he sat on the end over here. And so when the time came for the family to come and view the body at the end of the service, you know, first these and then this brother that I had been working with came forward and paid his respects. And then he turned to the last one, the eldest brother, and he said, he motioned for him to come and pay his respects at the casket. And I was standing here watching all this unfold, just kind of ministering and praying for this family as they were going on. And the eldest brother goes, tell me what to do. I said, whoa. I didn't say it out loud. Whoa, this guy's got a chip on his shoulder, man. And so the one I had been working with kind of backs down, and he goes, okay, you know. And then so the eldest brother comes, and has his moment. But boy, he was feisty. He was feisty. And I can tell that inside he was... He wasn't going to have anybody tell him what to do. No one. Sometimes we let ourselves be the main interference to being at ease, at peace. Let's continue the story. So God sent Isaiah to warn the king about allying with the Assyrians. He told King Ahaz that God would provide to them, and he gives them the sign, unto you a child is born, a son is given. God will give you that sign. Of course, he's talking about Jesus. Of course he is. He's talking about Jesus. But King Ahaz rejected God's help and turned to the Assyrians instead and became their ally. Beloved, not only did he not accept God's way for peace, but he allied himself with the enemy. Twenty years later, they did come and invaded Judah itself. Jerusalem itself was only spared because God intervened miraculously. But it asks us a question. Are we willing to make an unholy alliance in the quest for peace? Will we attach ourselves to something unholy in order to have peace instead of trusting God? It happens all the time. We maintain a toxic relationship for the sake of some kind of companionship. We try to please others so that we don't have any conflicts, but then we lose ourselves in that whole process of trying to please so many people. We become controlling to get our way. We overuse drugs or alcohol or food or exercise or money or positions or material goods in order to make up for what we lack inside. Those are unholy alliances. And God is saying, look, trust in me. Turn to me. But we rather turn to the enemy And we're behaving just like King Ahaz when we do so. And we ally ourselves with the enemy because we will not trust God. Beloved, an unholy alliance always bites back. Always. And as I mentioned, the Assyrians eventually went to war with Judah, and in 701 BC, ravaged the country of Judah. And like King Ahaz, we've allied ourselves with something that does, or eventually will, bite us back. The second truth about peace is that there is a source. A real source of peace. And to all of us who look for it, hallelujah. Amen. We don't have to join with the Assyrians to have peace. God attempted to reach out to King Ahaz and assure him of his help. Beloved, peace starts with an internal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That's where peace starts. That's why Romans 5:1, Paul says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's an important point to make here because no matter how dire the external circumstances may be, when we are internally at peace with God, we can still be at peace. No matter how difficult the storm rages around us, we can be settled. And we can be at peace. The word in Greek for peace is eirene. The word in Hebrew is shalom. Correctly pronounced, it's probably more like shalom, because they have the shalom. Shalom. You know what the gist of that word really means, eirene? It means joined together. That's the gist of that word. Joined together. At peace. We are joined together. That's why God starts the peace process with us, so that we can be rejoined together with Him. With Him. Because He knows that our first conflict, our first separation, was with God. Conflict starts with warfare against God. It's in our spiritual and in our emotional DNA. We inherited it from good old Adam and Eve. And we propagate it the same thing. And God knows that if we can resolve the disjoining of Him and us, He can bring us peace. And so eventually He sends Jesus so that He and us can be rejoined, put back together in peace. And it's so thorough that it transformed the foundation of our lives from being separated to be joined, from being in conflict and warfare to be at peace. It's such a thorough transformation. That's why Jesus can say, peace I leave with you. Peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. The agent of the joining, which is the heart of peace, is Jesus. It's Jesus. And that's why Jesus came. That's why He comes. Isaiah 59:2 says, your iniquities have made a separation between you and God. And that's exactly what happened. They were unjoined. And Jesus came to rejoin them back together, united. When we trust God and His plans and His solutions to the external problems, we can be at peace because He's within us. He's within us. If we're not internally connected to God, Even the smallest incident can throw us into despair. And throw us in despair. I've seen people get hysterical over the smallest things. Wow, you need the Lord. You need the Lord. If we're not internally connected to God, we seek peace externally. In relationships, it usually means, God, I want you to change that person. Because my spouse is bugging me, and he or she is doing wrong. You got to fix them. If we don't have that internal peace, we have to say to God, God, I'll fix my neighbor. He's giving me a lot of problems. Fix my coworker. They're giving me a lot of stress. Fix. It's always outside. We're always looking for the people over there to get changed. Instead of saying, Jesus, give me a peace during this conflict. Give me peace during this upheaval. Because I know that when I'm settled, the conflicts get a lot smaller. And I can walk through them, trusting you. Beloved, real peace is not the absence of stress. Real peace is the presence of the Savior in our lives. That's where real peace comes from. The source of peace is internal within us because of Jesus. It is God who is peace, who gives us peace. You know, there's an amazing verse in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. And Paul wrote, the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Isn't that a great verse? Do you know when Paul wrote that? He was in prison. He had been beaten and whooped. He had been slandered. He had been abused. He had been thrown into prison. His feet were in stocks. It tells about it in the book of Acts. The whole story. What happened to him? He was in prison. And the people in Philippi remembered that whole story. Now when he's in prison in Rome, he writes, you know, even though being in prison, and he says, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I've seen people in the last hours of their lives at peace. I've also seen people in the last hours of their lives in turmoil. What's the difference? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus, the Prince of Peace. You know, the first physician to ever die of AIDS lived in the United Kingdom and was a young Christian. He contracted AIDS because he was doing some medical research in Zimbabwe. And while he was there, he contracted AIDS and he came back to England to be cared for. Well, you know, AIDS is very progressive and never lets up. Gets worse and worse. And as it progressed and got worse, one of the things that it took from him was the ability to communicate. And so he could hardly say anything. Well, he couldn't say anything. And he can hardly communicate what his needs are. It drove his wife nuts because she wanted to care for him and minister to him and provide for him. And so one day they put a notepad in front of him with a pen in his hand and says, what is it that you want? What is it that you want? What are you trying to tell us? And with a shaking hand, he wrote, J. His wife looked at it and says, do you want some juice? What are you trying to tell us? And so she ran to her medical library and looked up Jay. Well, Jay, what is he? Jay, what's Jay mean? And she finally asked him, Does J stand for Jesus?
Yes.
And she knew that Jesus was providing for her husband in his darkest hour. Beloved, the Prince of Peace has come to be with us. Let's pray, shall we? Lord Jesus, we welcome you, Father. Even though we probably only know 1% of the impact or the truth or the importance of your coming to earth to be with us, thank you that you are Savior and Lord, and that you have come to reunite us with the Father, and that we might be at peace. Amen and amen.
Let's stand.